Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Mike Vrabel is speaking to the media, previewing the Pittsburgh Steelers, so we'll send it over to Mike Vrabel now.
Protocol with the short turnaround?
If you really have a concussion, yeah, I mean, which he does, and he'll be in protocol, so I don't know anybody else, but if you have a concussion, I would imagine it'd be difficult to pass the protocol in 4 days.
Just
for going forward. That wasn't meant for this specific, just meant in general.
Mike, how have you seen Will take on the challenge of a short week and just all that?
Well, I think it's everybody. Everybody's taking it on. It's just a lot of hours and come in after the game. And, you know, players, you know, it's up to them to physically try to do everything that they can. And we can help them, you know, just recover. And again, today's, you know, a Friday in our minds, and this is, you know, where we have to be, and we've got to work, and we got to trust the process that by Thursday night, that they'll feel better.
What would you say is the biggest challenge in such a quick turnaround against a defense like the Steelers?
I'm assuming that you said the short turnaround. It's a new opponent. You know, I mean, it's everything is just sped up, and you know. We talked about what it is physically, but just the mental preparation that goes on to, you know, a new opponent, new scheme, new players that they have to learn. So I think that's a challenge as well.
Is playing on a short week tough on rookies who probably never really did that in college?
Unless they played in the MAC. I don't know. I just, you know, we're all trying to do the same thing is get ready to go for Thursday night.
Will, sorry.
Well, been able to just take the installation as it came in the summer. Did a nice job with that, you know, like whenever he got here in the spring. And probably some of that changes now during the season, just game plan specific-wise. But I think he's been able to handle the volume of, you know, stuff that we put in.
Primarily on Nick coming from that side, but how is he maybe different or the same as Garrett in terms of what he brings and what you have to try to stop?
I mean, he's a talented player. He's long. He's athletic. He's instinctive, and we'll have to do a great job on the edges. You know, Highsmith is explosive and fast and can rush upfield. He's got a good spin move and. You know, so we'll have to make sure that those guys are accounted for and try to, you know, get hats on them and also get guys out in the route when we throw the football.
What's the challenge, I guess, for you, Mike, in a short week trying to figure out what you can fit into the schedule, what you can take out, maybe what's most important in preparation?
Well, it's all about mental prep. I mean, we won't do anything with any sort of, you know, tempo until tomorrow, really. It's all about getting, you know, recovered as much as they can, get move around a little bit, just still a walkthrough and try to get as many, you know, mental reps in as that we can and formations and breaking the huddle and working with the crowd noise and the environment of a, you know, Thursday night game in Pittsburgh.
How is McCreary been? I know he's dealing with the hamstring. How is he coming along?
Progressing, and he's working hard to get back out there and, you know, might have a chance to play. We'll see. But, you know, Rogers been pretty durable and been pretty resilient, I think, since he's been here. So hopefully, you know, he'll keep progressing.
What stood out watching Kenny Pickett this season? Have you seen progress from here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's ability to have command of the offense. He's, whether it's a no huddle, he's got good movement skills. He's got, you know, new weapon back here in Deontay Johnson, Pickens. I think he throws the deep ball. I think Kenny's got good composure. You know, he looked at Baltimore and the way that they pressured him and then the ability to come back, recognize it, you know, hit a big play in that football game. And, you know, that's not an easy defense to go against. So for him to be able to, one, you know, essentially have a mistake with, you know, a free blitzer and, you know, take a sack. I mean, he took care of the football, but then recognize it later on in the game and, you know, be able to go up top to Pickens.
What'd you think of Eric in relief of McCreary, and what could he carry over from that if you need him again this week?
I thought it was okay. You know, I mean, again, first action, you know, some things that we need to fix. And you know, but he wasn't the only one with defensive breakdowns. So I think, you know, he's got, Eric's had a great attitude since he's been here. He's been competitive. He's worked hard in preseason to get noticed. I mean, this is a tryout guy. This is a guy that didn't have, you know, just was given the opportunity to come here and try out and earned a roster spot on, you know, the 90 man, and then through the preseason got a practice squad. So proud of what he's done, and we'll continue to work with him and, you know, see him catch some punts.
I think you mentioned being mentally prepared a bunch today. Where do you see your team mentally right now? Do you feel like there's a good momentum in the clubhouse, like this team has a new lease on life coming off the win?
I think so. I think that yesterday was good. I mean, it's tough. I mean, a day after the game and bringing them in at 12:30, and you never know what you're going to get. But we got out there, and by 4:30, I thought that there was great energy. I thought the guys were buying into the fact that it was Thursday in their minds and just trying to, you know, trick ourselves a little bit. So I was really, you know, pleasantly surprised about just the energy yesterday that we had just one day removed from the game. I'm sorry, guys.
What did you think of Traylon in his first game back? Was he kind of fully?
Yeah, I had the opportunity. We're going to focus on Thursday night, and hopefully he can help us there. But, you know, just the recap was saved for yesterday. We got a short week focused on Pittsburgh, and Traylon's got to help us and, you know, maybe fix up some details that he can use on Thursday night.
Trade deadline's in less than 2 hours. You expect to stay quiet there or no?
Wait, see what happens and see if anybody calls or, but as of now, there's no news to report.
Who's not practicing?
Not too many people. Ryan, Chris Moore is away on a not injury related. You know, Roger will do a little bit. You know, he'll be limited, but not too bad. Did you have another question? I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask. You've had some success on this Thursday game. What's the biggest? You've talked mental and physical. What's the biggest key?
Those are the two. I mean, you don't have much time to practice. You have to be realistic on what you can ask of the players. You got to get some buy-in from your veterans. You know, the training room was packed yesterday, and you know, after we walked through, it's crowded, and try to get a recovery lift. And you know, we did striders yesterday to try to get things moving. And you know, so it's about the players buying in to believing that it's Thursday and that. And we're playing Sunday night.
Chris will be back here.
Chris will be back, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike. All right, there you go. That was Mike Vrabel. And there was one little quip in particular that Mike Vrabel had there. And we've said it before. Mike Vrabel can make it very obvious how he feels about certain players. Like, he was asked about, for example, Roger McCreary, who was out on Sunday. He's dealing with a hamstring thing. Mike Vrabel talks about, you know, Roger has been dependable. Roger has been reliable. Basically talking about, hey, Roger's going to be able to take care of his business. That tells
he'll
me.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. Mike Vrabel loves Roger McCreary. Nick, if we have that, when Mike Vrabel was asked about Treylon Burks, and look, it's what we've been saying about Treylon Burks really for a majority of this season, where Treylon Burks, you need to step up, man. Like, he's had one big play so far this season. They had the big catch against the Chargers, and he's really, for the most part, been absent ever since. Literally, in a sense, where he hasn't been able to be available on the field for injury. And when he is on the field, he's been a non-factor. We talked about that in the game on Sunday. There was a ball where he could have caught that he didn't catch it. But, you know, to be fair, it was a good defensive play. There was a ball that he caught, but he was out of bounds. So, of course, you know, didn't count. But really, Treylon Burks said one good play. Mike Vrabel was asked about, you know, Treylon Burks, what we can expect from him. This was Mike Vrabel on Treylon Burks.
What did you think of Treylon in his first game back? Was he kind of fully?
Yeah, I had the opportunity. We're going to focus on Thursday night, and hopefully he can help us there. But, you know, just the recap was saved for yesterday. We got a short week focused on Pittsburgh, and Traylon's got to help us and, you know, maybe fix up some details that he can use on Thursday night.
Sensing a little frustration there, D-Mace.
Yeah, he should be frustrated.
We're frustrated.
Yeah, we're frustrated. Traylon should be frustrated.
You know, they had high hopes for this young man coming in and building on some of the things that he did last year and then coming in here being ready to, you know, become the guy that they believe he can be. It started off great, the way he came into camp, you know, his attitude and everything else. But, you know, listen, camp does nothing for me if you can't then take camp work and it bleeds into your season. It was great to see all that during camp, but we haven't seen any of it with the exception of one play against the Chargers. That's it. We haven't seen anything else from Treylon Burks other than drop passes and not being available. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I don't want to get on the young man too much. But, dude, you have to show up. You have beside anything else, Treylon Burks needs to establish himself for Will Levis, because these two guys should be the quarterback receiver combination that we need to be talking about moving forward and into the future. Will Levis, 70 yards to Treylon Burks. Will Levis, 3rd and 10, hit Treylon Burks. Will Levis, hit Treylon Burks. Will Levis, you know, 254 yards, 20 out of 24, Treylon Burks, 8 catches, 400 yards. That's what we need to be talking about moving forward. And we're not, because he can't stay on the field. And then when he's on the field, he's dropping too many damn footballs. Again, I'm going to give him grace. And I know the coaching staff is going to give him grace. But eventually, you're going to have to start to show that, one, you're reliable, meaning you're on the field more times than not. And then, two, when you're on the field, you're making an impact. He's made one impact since he's been on the field this season. One. And I know the offensive line has been bad. But
hasn't stopped D-Hop.
It hasn't stopped D-Hop. It hasn't stopped, you know, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. It hasn't stopped Chris Moore, Tajay Spears. It hasn't stopped these guys in the passing game. But for some reason, it has stopped you. I don't know what's going on. Does he feel comfortable in the offense? I don't know what it is. Is he fully healthy? I don't know what it is. But he's going to have to come to a realization that his time is running thin. Especially with this head coach. When the head coach answers a question in that manner, that means, okay, I don't even want to talk about him. Until he start doing some of the things that we brought him in here to do, I don't want to talk about him. Don't bring him up no more, you know. So he's going to have to change that narrative. Because right now, the narrative is you're not available. And when you're available, Treylon, you're not catching a football. That's what it is.
I can't call him a bust yet.
He's not a
bust.
We're not there. Yeah, we're not there.
But we're approaching that territory, I think. You are a first-round pick. And Mike Vrabel would never admit this. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's got a TV. He watches football. He sees what A.J. Brown is doing. Mm-hmm. Treylon Burks was supposed to be his replacement. A.J. Brown right now is the best receiver in the NFL.
But it's not even really about A.J. because...
It is, though. It's about individually what Treylon Burks has or hasn't done, mm-hmm. made worse by what A.J. Brown is doing in Philadelphia, in my opinion.
But even if they were just getting consistent play out of him, growth out of him, that's what they're looking for. They're not looking – even if A.J. was in Philadelphia and was just doing okay, they still would be looking for Treylon to make an impact, to make growth in such a short, you know, NFL career thus far. They want to see growth in him. They haven't seen growth in him. They're not looking at A.J. Brown. Vrabel, they're not doing it because that's just going to make them even more upset. They're not doing it. It's done. It's moved. We got to move on. But you're not showing us anything. That's the problem. He's not showing them anything. One, he can't stay on the field, and then he dropping too many passes. Even if you were showing us, okay, yeah, I see it. Yeah, every game you get a couple of passes here and there. You're still essentially a rookie because you missed some games last year. But you're not even showing them that. That's the disappointing, that's the frustrating part. You're not showing them anything. So it makes the trade look even worse now. You know, if you were showing us something, at least we could say, hey, this kid got some promise. Yeah, you know, look at what he's doing. He's slowly coming on. But he's not even doing that.
Because when do you stop being obsessed with your ex? When you find someone new, that's great. You don't even worry about your ex.
Yeah.
But it's now the Titans' ex, A.J. Brown, is living his best life in Philadelphia, and your new thing isn't giving you anything. And that's what makes it worse. And because, yes, Treylon Burks, he himself, the individual and the player and his contribution to this football team, that is the most important thing. Regardless of what A.J. Brown is doing, the most important thing is, what are you doing to this offense? But it is made worse. It is salt in the wound that A.J. Brown looks the way that he looks. And he's doing it by being healthy, something that he wasn't able to do with the Titans. Now Treylon Burks can't stay healthy. Treylon Burks can't hold on to the football. Treylon Burks can't make an impact. And now that we're looking ahead to, you know, what might be the Will Levis era, when the Titans drafted Will Levis, I thought, okay, this can be a redshirt year for him. Tannehill will be the starter. Will Levis will take over in 2024. And by that point, Treylon Burks will be in his third year. If he's able to stay healthy this year and able to get good work this year, in year three, he'll be able to be, you know, a quality and consistent target for a young Will Levis coming in and taking over the starting job. I cannot factor Treylon Burks into that situation anymore with the future with his pass catching core. I mean, show it to me.
Yeah, because if you look at, just look at the guys that got drafted in that draft. Garrett Wilson, he's proven he's a guy that's going to play a long time in this league if he stays healthy. Ja'Marr Chase, we know what hell, we know what he is. Chris Olave, good player, really good player. Yep. Christian Watson, he's shown some flashes. You know, he needs to stay healthy too.
Better his rookie season, but
yeah.
Flashed his rookie season.
Exactly. Drake London, we know what he can do. We just saw him this week. You know, he's a guy. Jamison Williams, when he's healthy, you know, he messed up his knee last year. First preseason game of the season, ended up messing up his knee. Jamison Williams. He's come back, and he's looked good at times. So the Titans, I mean, not the Titans, but the Lions, are they feel good about Jamison Williams.
If he can stay off FanDuel.
Yeah, if he can stay off FanDuel, too. I think he's learned his lesson now. But if you look, and then there were some other guys in there, but Treylon Burks is, if you, you know, he's the guy that hasn't shown much, if any, you know, a few big catches here and there, that's what he's shown. And the Titans need more out of him. They need more out of him. And they're not getting it for whatever reason. They're not getting it. When he's – I understand he's not on the field at times. Okay, you're injured. But when you're healthy, what are you giving us? He's not giving us anything. And that's the frustrating part. That's more frustrating than the injuries, I think, because some injuries you just can't help.
Right.
But when you're on the field, what are you giving us? Nothing. That's frustrating. You know, you're not on the field. You missed three games already. But in the four games you played, you've only given us 99 yards. 99 yards. Four games. Yeah, you're averaging 16 yards a pop, but that's because of one big play. But you're only giving us 99 yards in four games? Come on, you're the first-round pick. You're supposed to be the focal point of our passing game, and you're not.
Being a first-round pick, that ups the ante.
Yeah.
You know, that makes things heat up a lot quicker and a lot more. And, look, if you can't contribute, I can't have you part of this football team. And we're not there yet.
But I don't know. It's just
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has given us more. He wasn't a first-round pick. Chris Moore has given you more. He wasn't a first-round pick.
Yeah.
You were the first-round pick. You're supposed to be the future of this organization. And I don't think it's because of lack of effort. I don't know
I'm not going to say he's not giving the effort because, you know, how do you judge? I can't judge a man's effort because I'm not in that locker room.
Yeah, and I don't think that's what the case is because I think in training camp he showed a level of effort that he wants to be considered the future of this football program. Exactly. He wants to live up to that first round hype and expectation.
But whatever he's doing or not doing, I think the head coach, judging by his response, he's frustrated now. He's frustrated. Like, what more can we do? I've always said, well, how do you get a young receiver, or any receiver, but if you want him to be a playmaker within your offense, or he's supposedly your number one receiver, you got to get him in the game early. Well, have the Titans done that? Not all the time. I don't think they've done it at all this season, with the exception of maybe one game. But we can't do that when on 3rd and 10 you dropping balls. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not making the plays that we brought you in here to make. I'm not even going to count the first one that, because I think the defensive back.
It was a good play.
But other ones that you've dropped, or are you getting open more times than not? Those are the things that the coaching staff is seeing. And I'm sure they're frustrated by that. You're not getting open, you're not catching the ball with any regularity. And then you're hurt more times than not.
Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be interesting to see if Will Levis continues along a trend and a trajectory of passing game looking really good. Mm-hmm. Maybe not 4 touchdowns every single game good, but better than it has been this season. Once you utilize the passing game more, what does Treylon Burks' role look like now? Because he had a 4 touchdown day from Will Levis, mm-hmm. and Treylon Burks accounted for none of them. But as Will Levis continues to get more first-team reps, as he plays more games, as the passing game continues to develop, if it does, assuming that it does, maybe it's not fair to make that assumption, but let's just live in fantasy land, will he have more of a breakout in the latter half of the season than in the first half of the season when the passing game did struggle a bit? I'm hopeful.
Well, you hope. And you hope because now you got a quarterback in there that can move around a little bit better than the last quarterback, and has a big enough arm, or bigger arm than your starter had. Maybe this opens up something for Treylon Burks. We didn't see it this past game. He had an opportunity, didn't come up with it. You got to leave yourself a lot more room when you take that outside release. You can't get pushed out of bounds. You big enough. You can fight your way back, you know, you can leave yourself enough room.
Right.
You're 6'2", 200 and something pounds. You shouldn't let somebody push you that close to the sideline. These are all the little things that I know a coach is frustrated with, because if I was a player on that team watching a young guy that I know has all the talent, I would be frustrated as a veteran guy. Like, dude, use your size and your strength to your advantage. Use it. You cannot get pushed outside like that. You can't. You're bigger than the defensive back. You got to muscle your way and give yourself enough opportunity to catch that football. You didn't leave yourself much opportunity to catch the ball. Really good catch, but it was a long foul ball. That's what we call it in the NFL. Long foul ball. Looks good, but eventually it's going foul.
We'll continue the conversation, but coming up next, Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee will join us. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025. 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. Clark, always appreciate you for joining us. Fall to Ole Miss 33-7 this past week. Some struggles in the passing game. What did you take away from the 2 quarterbacks that we got to see on Saturday in Oxford?
Well, we weren't able to really get anything going early with Ken, and I don't actually – and didn't feel in the moment, and in review didn't feel like that's necessarily a fault of his. I think there was just they were able to get some pressure on us early. It just felt like we needed to do something to change things up. And when you insert Walt, you're going to add an element of quarterback run that forces defenses to adjust. And so we had planned on playing Walt regardless. But, you know, when he got in the game, he was able to get up on the safety and lowered his shoulder, and I thought made a good run there. And ultimately, I felt like, provided a spark for us. So we kind of just stayed with the hot hand, and, you know, we can come back this week and prepare with both guys and kind of see where it lands on Saturday.
What is your quarterback plan moving forward? Is that maybe an approach that you'd like to take, is having two quarterbacks available, maybe between, you know, Ken Seals and Walter Taylor, or even A.J. Swan in the mix as well? Do you want to use multiple quarterbacks in a game?
Well, I've said this before, so I don't want to change my answer. I think, you know, anytime that you're playing two guys at that spot, you face challenges of getting into rhythm. You know, you face challenges of chemistry on the field. I mean, particularly when you have kind of dramatic differences in style of play, there's tactical challenges there too, or design challenges. But in the end, it's whatever formula is best for us to win. And if that means playing two, then we'll play two. And we're equipped to do that. And, you know, we've had an eye on a package for Walt, really for the entire season. And so there are elements of that are there already embedded in our base, you know, kind of installs that we can access, and also then design some things unique to Auburn that might help us, again, move the ball and score points.
Clark Lee is with us, Vanderbilt head football coach. Clark, I heard you last night on our airwaves on the Commodore Hour. You said that Vanderbilt football needs to be a force. We're not a force yet. From your evaluation, what do you need to do in order to make Vanderbilt football the force you want it to be?
So it's just so much of this has to do with, you know, continuing to kind of purge the program of mindset and of anything that lingers. And to be honest, that's a more involved and longer process than maybe I anticipated. That doesn't mean that we're not, you know, way ahead of where we were, because we are, but you know, we're still battling for that core identity to show up each week. And I actually think that, you know, sometimes our preparation doesn't actually come to fruition on Saturdays too. So again, it's that to me is when I talk about becoming a force. What I'm saying is that there's this unselfish attitude towards what we do. There's a belief in each other. There's a fighting spirit there that doesn't come and go as the game evolves, that is pure and consistent and steady, and allows us to battle in games and to course correct in games and to be in close games late that we can win. Look, anytime you're not seeing results, you're going to be challenged. Anytime you're not seeing results, you're going to face adversity. That's true as a coach, and that's true as a player. You know, what happens in these moments is, you know, those areas that need to be matured and grown, they get exposed, you know. So we're just trying to beat those back, trying to get this thing clicking on all cylinders, get everyone seeing it the same way, and just generating that level of alignment that ultimately will allow us to win in this conference. And, you know, in my opinion, we have to be the most aligned team to have the opportunity to do that.
Now, Coach, what did you see in the young quarterback, Taylor? I know he didn't throw the ball much. He did throw an interception. But did you see something in there that you were encouraged by, whether it be, you know, his processing on pass plays, decision-making? What did you see in a young guy that can be encouraging moving forward? Because he damn sure looks the par. Big, tall, with a strong arm.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot to be encouraged by. And you talk about Walter, you talk about the type of person he is and his approach. You know, we have a great belief in him. He's got physical traits. He's got personality traits and mental traits too. You know, there's the run game part of it is unique, and what he can do, what he brings to the table that way, is unique. In the passing game, I think part of it is just we got to speed him up, and that's, you know, that is anyone's experience when you're getting your first extended action in the SEC is, you know, you have to be able to get the ball out on time and rhythm, and you can't hesitate. And the longer you hesitate, or the longer you stare where you're going to throw before you throw it, the more you're going to get a defense that's going to take that space away effectively. And the interception was really just a ball that he forced where he shouldn't have. Again, you can call that a freshman, you know, mistake. You know, there are a couple others that I felt like we had opportunities. We had a post that was open that we just it didn't quite have the confidence to let it rip. Later on, there was a go ball that they were playing a single high defense, and he kind of pulled the middle player into the go. Again, you know, I mean, you learn how to look the safety off, you learn how to send him where you want him to go, and then come back to the route. Those are things to me that you learn with experience. I loved the deep ball he threw to Junior Sherrill. I thought he gave Junior a chance. Junior made a hell of a catch. You know, so there are flashes there of really good things. And again, for someone playing in his first extended action, I think we got to celebrate those small wins and build on them.
Now, your defense did give up 26 in the first half, but they played much better in the second half, getting a fourth down stop, forcing, you know, the Mississippi to punt the ball, Mississippi State, excuse me, to punt the ball. But what were you encouraged by seeing that because of, you know, it's the tale of two halves for your defense? They didn't play as well the first half, but then they came out the second half, and you know their sport. They could have gave up, but they didn't. They continued to fight and only managed to give up, what, 7 points in the second half?
Yeah, you know, I think with the first half performance, one thing that shows up is outside of that first drive, obviously, was frustrating. They were able to get a chunk on a throw where we just lost our eyes for a split second and the route got behind us. But, you know, I feel like that drive aside, the next possession for Ole Miss started inside the 15-yard line, and we battled and held them to a field goal. Which I thought was a great sign of resilience. And then the next possession was another field goal where we had a sack fumble that you know, was inches from being a scoop and score opportunity, or at least scoop and get the ball to the plus side of the field. And so I say that to say I did see some positive signals in the first half too. I think what happened there is we were struggling to – so that got them to 13, you know, and then as we were struggling to get offense going, we took a couple of risks on fourth down on our side of the field that it came up short, and we gave them short fields. And anytime you do that with a good offense, you're going to be taking on some water. And to me, we weren't able to counterpunch offensively in the first half to keep that game within reach, and also there to limit possessions for them too, right? Like, I think part of the defensive success in the second half was the offensive success, meaning we were able to grind out a couple drives and take some time off the clock. And that's the formula we need to take to win. I mean, that's what it is. So, you know, look, if you measure Saturday's performance over how we've performed against that team in the past, I think there's a lot that we can build on positively. Ultimately for us, you know, just like any team, we want the results. You know, we're paying attention to the positive signs in the process, but we're not satisfied until we win.
Clark, this is one of my favorite times of the college football season, because final four games of the year, at least in that window, you can start to play some of those true freshmen and still maintain their red shirt status. So who are some faces that we could see maybe this weekend or throughout the rest of the season that we haven't seen so far this season?
AJ Newberry started, he played some last week. I think he went 3 carries for 30 yards, 10 a carry, long of 21. I mean, he really, I felt, flashed. He'll get more. You know, we think he's a talented player. And again, keep in mind that, you know, that was our, you know, last, we have three left now. So we started this game, a week ago. He's really the one that it stands out that, you know, you're going to see. I think, Jalen Gilbert's another that may find his way on the special teams, and we may have a couple of guys carved out some roles that way. But on the whole, this is going to be, you know, playing with the group we have, which we have a ton of true freshmen that are playing for us now anyways. But A.J. Newberry is one that you'll see out there for sure.
Now, what is the challenge? You got Auburn this week. What is the challenge for you with Auburn? It's not a team that's known to score a lot of points, even though they were able to do that last week. But what is the challenge going against Auburn?
Well, the challenge starts with us. You know, I mean, it's how we do a better job in our systems and our execution. And so that's the starting point. I think what they do well is run the ball. They're effective, you know, on the ground, obviously capable through the air, but it stands out that they can run it. They have the ability to be mobile at the quarterback position too, which always presents challenges. Defensively, they're very disruptive. They're number one in our conference in turnovers forced. You know, they defended the pass really well. And so for us, you know, to establish that run game and to give ourselves a chance on the ground will be important. We've been inconsistent that way. And you know, I say inconsistent, we really haven't been good. But, you know, last week we found some room running it. You know, I look at it too and say, you know, if we can build a lead out, you know, we can maybe force them away from their rushing game, and you know, force them in situations where we have to throw it. That'll be big in terms of just the overall success of our game day. So those will be the things we're looking at. You know, it's always going to be a tough challenge in conference, and you know, our guys, this is our final home game, and it's a senior day for us, and so. You know, we're going to be excited to go out there and get after it with people that we care about for the last time.
Last one for you, Clark. Clark Lee is with us. I have to get your take on this, a college football coach's take on everything that we've heard coming out of Michigan and the sign stealing. I mean, how do you get that out of the sport? And have you maybe been a little bit more, maybe disguising your signals a little bit more since the news came out?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, we have about 16 signalers on the sideline, so good luck. I think it's, look, the push is to get the helmet technology in place to just eliminate. I mean, you know, truthfully, if you look at college football sidelines, there are about 16 people on their screens. There are all kinds of stuff that it's like this whole circus element on the sideline to protect the signals. And I think we can eliminate all that just by getting the headset and the helmet and allow the communication to take place that way. And I'll be excited for us to do that. You know, the one thing about our game that's different than the NFL is you have to have symmetry to make a change like that. And so you have to make sure that stadiums are equipped, that every stadium is equipped that way, and that it's fair. And that's what will take some time. But I'll be excited for it because it's one less thing to worry about.
Hey, you're not the first coach that I've heard kind of advocating for the radio signals and the helmets. Maybe get rid of, you know, the guys that look like they're doing the Macarena at different speeds out there on the sidelines. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time and good luck this weekend against Auburn.
Always great to be with you guys. Y'all take care.
Awesome. Thanks, Clark. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach. Appreciate him for joining us. But coming up next, we got just over an hour away until the NFL trade deadline. Is there a move with the Titans happening in the next hour? We'll get into that. And, of course, your phones, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, join 1025 The Game this Thursday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the grand opening of Fast Pace Healthcare at 3556 Murfreesboro Pike in Antioch. Stop by and enter for your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game and other prizes.
Trade deadline's in less than 2 hours. Do you expect to stay quiet there or no?
Wait. See what happens and see if anybody calls or, but as of now, there's no news to report.
That was Mike Vrabel at his press conference earlier this hour. Caroline Billy, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. D-Mace, he says that they're waiting on calls. You believe that? You believe they haven't gotten calls?
I'm sure they got calls, but maybe not the right calls. And quickly, the Jacksonville Jaguars have facilitated a trade with the Minnesota Vikings. The Jags are getting Ezra Cleveland, their standout guard that was in Minnesota. He now will be a part of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know what Jackson mean, what they got in return, meaning Minnesota. Is Minnesota on, are they selling away because of the quarterback situation? Or, you know, did they just, you know, trade a guy away that they eventually may have to pay?
Yeah, Ian Rappaport said a third-day draft pick. So a late-round pick, which is probably to be expected for a guard in the middle of the season.
They're trying to bolster up their line, Jacksonville. And I don't know what Minnesota's doing. Maybe they're like, we don't have a quarterback. We're not trading for a quarterback. Jefferson's hurt.
They did trade for a quarterback.
Yeah, they did. You're right. Joshua Dobbs.
If you missed it, the Vikings traded for Josh Dobbs earlier today. Mm-hmm. But that's like the Vikings, it seems to me, it's let's try to win as many games as possible, mm-hmm. but also let's try to get as much draft capital back as possible without spending very much draft mm-hmm. capital. Because you're going to – what did they give up for Josh Dobbs again?
A seventh round pick,
and they get a sixth round pick in return.
Mm-hmm. Right, yep, so that's a move that almost feels like a no brainer for the Vikings. You get a serviceable quarterback, mm-hmm. not great, not a starter, but a good quarterback to fill in for Kirk Cousins for the rest of the season. You don't have to give up much. Honestly, you get more in return mm-hmm. than you're really giving up. And then another move that was made, a big one. The 49ers are trading a third-round pick to the Washington Commanders for Chase Young.
The rich gets richer. Couple him with Joey Bosa and that aggressive style defense.
Nick Bosa?
Nick Bosa, not Joey. The brothers mixed up, yeah. It bolsters an already physical defense. I think this move was made because, you know, now you're starting to see a little chink in the armor with Purdy. Mm-hmm. And can they really, truly rely on Purdy that he's going to be able to win them, you know, say a shootout if they need to. So you get you know, a very, very good defensive player to bolster your defense, which was already good. And you try to not put much on Purdy's plate.
I mean, this Niners need a Super Bowl.
Yeah. They need something. I mean, all these picks and moves and stuff they've done.
That's a go-for-it move.
Hell, it was a go-for-it move last year when they got Christian McCaffrey.
It was a damn good move, too.
It was a great move, I mean, goodness, they've gotten their money's worth and some with him. But they still find themselves chasing the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's the Eagle and Niner shows.
Yeah.
In the NFC. And the Lions, they're not on that same level.
They're a good team, I don't think they're ready for those other two teams.
It's those two and just about nobody else.
Yeah.
Just over an hour until the trade deadline. D-Mace, do you expect the Titans to make any moves?
Man, I would be surprised if they did because, okay, if you make a move, is it going to be a significant move? A significant move that's going to get you something back, that's going to help you in the future.
What do you think that would be?
It would have to be at least fifth, fourth round picks to help you out in next year's draft. Because again, it's not the single pick; it's taking that pick along with some other picks,
packaging
them, and potentially moving up. So, because before they've done some of the things that they did, they didn't have many picks. So I think if they do move anybody, it's going to take at least a fifth or above. Now they may move somebody that's really not, you know, big on what they want to do as far as moving forward. But if you're talking D-Hop, Autry, Tart, guys like that, it's going to take a significant pick to get those guys.
I don't think DeAndre Hopkins or Derrick Henry are going anywhere. For a few reasons. I mean, I don't think Derrick Henry is going anywhere because of some of the reporting. Like we saw Adam Schefter saying that they're not going to restructure Derrick Henry's contract. Mm-hmm. I think that you can interpret that a few different ways. The way I interpret that is they're not making they don't feel any need to make Derrick Henry's contract easier to move. They're not going away from him. Plus, why would you go away from him seeing what he did for your rookie quarterback this past Sunday? If you're going to stick with Will Levis, which I think they're probably going to do for the foreseeable future, why trade away a rookie quarterback's best friend and biggest security blanket? I don't think they're going anywhere. I could see like a Tart or an Autry for a third or a fourth round pick. Now, I'd like a third. But it's tough because I don't think that trading away Autry or Tart is like a we're throwing in the towel, like we're waving the white flag on the season. It doesn't make you better. In fact, it makes you worse because I think we saw how much this defensive line struggled without Tier Tart. You bring Tier Tart back into the equation and it like unlocks something in Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons. So it definitely doesn't help you, but I don't think it completely takes you out of the equation. I don't think it completely, you know, takes your season off the rails. I would still need a significant return for one of the two of them. But I don't think offensive players.
Nah, I don't think you are on the trade. Again, I would be surprised if I don't think they're moving on Derrick Henry. I would be surprised, you know, that they move on D-Hop considering what he was able to do and how he was able to help Will Levis this past weekend, knowing that you're not getting much from Treylon Burks, if any. So
you gotta wow me.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, you would have to give me something I can't refuse. Like it would almost have to be, you know, if you're not giving at least a third round, it would have to be, you know, fourth, fifth, like two picks.
I wouldn't even do that.
So
give me a second.
That you're not. I don't
asking
think
price
are,
is high.
I don't think teams are going to be willing to give up that. But a third round pick, that's still a high pick in today's NFL. That's a high pick. So, but I don't see that happening. Tart possibly, but again, without Tart, we saw what you look like. Simmons is great, but you know you got to have that guy on the side of you that takes away some of the pressure.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company, so next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.